The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday, August 29th, 2021. And thank you for joining us for the Walking Dead online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. Tonight's show contains spoilers up to the last episode and possible content from any current AMC official promo materials. With me tonight is Joan, one of our regulars who's always helping me out in the chat room, although she has quit for a moment. I know sometimes we have audio business in the beginning and refreshing seems to fix that. So hopefully she's just refreshing. All right. We will see. Taking her a minute to get back on. Hopefully there's no storm-related business. All right. Typically, we start this show about a half hour before the new episode of Walking Dead airs live each week with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., we will go mute or dark, and we'll watch the new episode together, and then rate that episode between 1 and 10, 1 being, oh my God, kill it, never want to see this again, and 10 being, this is absolutely perfect, more please. As well as we will give you guys commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give you listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. All right. Joan's not back yet. I hope you're joining us pretty soon. Not sure what's up. All right. Our show is spoiler and comic free, so please don't discuss either any spoilers or stuff from the comics in the chat room or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that's presented. Joan has come back. Let's give her some welcome applause. And let's make sure that I can be heard in case there's any adjusting I need to do before we really get going. Or just make sure. She'll let me know in just a hot second. All right. So welcome to episode 2, season 11. This is the final season of The Walking Dead Classic, season opener part 2. The first two episodes are like one giant episode. Okay. She is here. Oh, her internet barfed and she can hear me. Okay. So that's just hopefully not too much foolishness. All right. So season 11 is going to have three segments of 8 episodes each instead of the traditional 2. And that'll be a total of 24. So The Walking Dead Classic Season 11 will run the first 8 episodes up to October 10th and then take a break. I do not have dates when the second part of second group of 3 will happen yet, but I do have dates on other stuff. Fear the Walking Dead Season 7 will premiere on Sunday, October 17th, 2021. This is a week after The Walking Dead Classic goes on mid-season hiatus. Quote, mid-season. Fear, in turn, will run the front 8 episodes up to December 5th and go on break. There is a commitment to Fear Season 8 in 2022, which I imagine will integrate with the ending of Walking Dead Season 11 into the movie set up in the new 2 spinoffs and blah, blah, blah. World Beyond Season 2 is going to be woven in between the segue of Walking Dead and Fear. World Beyond will run October 3rd to December 5th. So assumably we will have the older shows at 9 and then World Beyond at 10 each Sunday to make the schedule fit. Starting October 3rd, there'll probably be a double feature. And then I guess hopefully Talking Dead will be on afterwards at 11 p.m. because we don't want to lose that. So this is kind of the same as Tales of the Walking Dead, but the next offering, quote-unquote, from the Walking Dead world comes in the form of The Walking Dead Origins, which, as you might expect, delves into the backstories of existing characters. And this began on July 15th, and there really wasn't a grand announcement about it. I totally missed it. So The Walking Dead Origins is a limited series from current showrunner Angela Kang, and it ran for 4 episodes on AMC Plus streaming only. Each installment focused on a single character, the Lucky Quartet consisting of Daryl Dixon, Maggie Reed, Negan, and Carol Pelletier. One of these days, I don't know if you have ever looked it up, Joan, but I always feel like I'm mispronouncing Carol's name, and I feel bad about it. All right. According to the official description, The Walking Dead Origins will recount the zombie apocalypse from the perspective of one character, incorporating actor interviews out of character and narration into each episode. End quote. Now, I'm not sure why this was even needed, as these four have done their origin stories in Walking Dead already. But, you know, I like those four characters, but if we're going to do an origin story, I think we should have stuck to Tales of the Walking Dead and be done. But that's just me. All right. In 2022, there's a fourth series coming, which is the spinoff with Carol and Daryl. We don't have a title. We don't really know what's going on with it yet. We feel like there's a great deal of setup business going on in the season 11 stuff for Walking Dead Classic. All right. Also in late 2022 or 23, there will be a fifth show, the episodic roadshow style story, Tales of the Walking Dead, that I mentioned earlier. There's no date set yet exactly. Also, this is newer stuff. I just announced last week. Dead in the Water, which is a Fear mini prologue. So back in March 2021, rumors of a watery new Walking Dead project emerged. Titled Dead in the Water, this digital exclusive takes the dead underwater as set during an outbreak on a nuclear submarine. Connecting directly to Fear the Walking Dead, said submarine recently appeared in Season 6 as part of Teddy's dastardly plan to bring about the end times using the sub's nuclear-loaded missiles. Though fans already know, the USS Pennsylvania ends up beached and commandeered by a cult leader, Dead in the Water will explain how it got there and what happened to all the dead crew members discovered by Morgan and Strand. There's no official release date at present. A script has been completed. In terms of cast, you'd expect Nick Stahl to return as Riley, since Teddy's second in command was originally the vessel's weapons officer. All right, let's see. Joan does not have anything further to add, so I'm going to keep going. Feel free to call in to speak with the host at 914-338-0314 anytime tonight, but I encourage you especially between 8:30 and 9 p.m. because you're still welcome to call in during the live show, but you will be screened and muted until the commercial break. So you kind of have to wait to get to say anything. And then we can chat on the, pardon my hiccups, we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, join us in the live chat room. We will be able to listen to the show real time, as well as download the episode after the fact. We go back to that link after the show is over, archives as an MP3. So if you're unable to join us in real time this evening, or any evening that we have an episode, you can go back to the link later and download that broadcast as an MP3 for later listening, or you can just go to the page and listen to it right there. You click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page to download, and you can also download this and prior episodes on iTunes. Alrighty, let's get going. Tonight's episode is entitled Asheron Part 2, obviously a continuation of last week. The official AMC synopsis is, Maggie's mission takes the team through a subway tunnel. This is really not correct. I have to step on this. As a native Washingtonian, Washington, D.C. does not have a subway. The Metro is kind of a subway, but it's also kind of a commuter rail. It's not like New York. It's not like a lot of places. It's this weird hybrid. They really should just say Metro and be done, which they didn't do. And I was watching last week's episode real quick, and Negan gave quite a good rundown of how the exits actually go, which I was pretty impressed with that part. All right, so Maggie's mission takes the team through a Metro tunnel, challenged by lurking walkers and a recalcitrant Negan. With Eugene's group, Yumiko seeks answers about her brother and demands expedited processing into the Commonwealth. All right, additional synopses, which I typically do for you guys. I have links to stuff where they talk a little more. I had this one last week, but I sat on it because they were talking about part one and two together, since those were made available to reviewers ahead of time. So I didn't want to do it last week because too much spoiler, but we can do it now. So this is The Walking Dead Season 11, two-part premiere synopsis, Death and a Dogged Search by Cameron Bolomono. And this is comicbook.com, one of our regular sources for information that I go to. All right, so there's not a ton here, but I'm going to go ahead and read it. The Walking Dead descends into the underworld where the survivors trek into zombie-filled subway tunnels. Stop it. In the two-part Season 11A premiere, Acheron Part 1 and 2. AMC Networks on Thursday revealed titles of the first 8 episodes of Season 11, which I'll give you guys later, hinting at the return of the Reapers. All right. Hunting Maggie Rhee and the Wardens, her road-weary group of zombie apocalypse survivors seeking shelter at Alexandria. In other words, the Reapers were chasing Maggie and the Wardens, just to make that clear. But the walled-off community is overcrowded, underfed, and now struggling to survive in the wake of the Whisperer War that left the hilltop colony in ashes and Alexandria in ruins. All right. This is an extended summary of last week. I read it to you guys. I'm going to go ahead and read it again. Since it's a two-part episode, we want to make sure we have continuity of understanding. So this was not the final synopsis from AMC, but it was an extended one put out earlier. And then I'm going to read you the same thing for part two. So part one had said, returning to Alexandria from a critical food mission, the group realizes it isn't enough. Maggie proposes a new plan, potentially a suicide mission. What choice do they have? They must find more food for all their people in order to survive and efficiently rebuild Alexandria. If they don't, Alexandria falls, taking them down with it. Once on the road, a violent storm erupts, forcing them underground into a subway or tunnel. I'm going to make that face every time they say this. As nerves fray and suspicions increase, chaos ensues. The terror is relentless as our people get a glimpse of what Maggie and her group endured prior to returning to Alexandria. Meanwhile, those captured by the strange soldiers are relocated to another undisclosed location. And that really refers to the Commonwealth. You know, I don't know why they put that euphemistically, because we know this much. All right, Acheron Part 2 extended synopsis. The group discovers a member did not make it back to safety inside the subway car. Surrounded by walkers, going back out into the tunnel to search is a guaranteed death wish. All eyes are on Negan as the rule of survival shifts. It is no longer no man left behind. The motto now is we keep going. With very little ammo and energy remaining, the group must ready themselves as the walkers have found a way inside the subway train. Meanwhile, Daryl, in his own intense, hellish situation, trying to find Dog and finding more than he expected, and Yumiko challenges the process at the Commonwealth outpost, which threatens her future and that of Eugene, Ezekiel, and Princess. In Greek mythology, we're just back to the main article now. The River Acheron is one of the 5 rivers of the underworld. Sometimes called the River of Pain or the River of Woe, Acheron was perceived to be a physical barrier between the underworld and the mortal world. For mortals could not cross it to enter the underworld, and the dead could not cross it to escape. And this is according to the website Greek Legends and Myths. We have the guy who wrote it and the people who produced it and all that stuff. I will tell you guys later. And there's some photos, which I have included on the website. Well, not the website, but, you know, the photo montage that usually goes along with the website for being attached to our show. All right. Who is Barnes? Oh, co-executive producer Jim Barnes is quoted in here. And Jim says, quote, it's going back to being scary. It's scary, Barnes said of Season 11 on the Talk Dead to Me podcast after the start of production in February. We're making a concerted effort to put that back into, especially his first 2 or 3, and actually all throughout the season. It's grammatically weird, but he means episodes. We're exploring things and doing things I haven't seen done on the show before, which is really exciting. Just different set pieces and locations, and the fact that we're pulling it off during the pandemic is a testament to the crew in Georgia. It's incredible. It's big. I think I can say that. Okay, that's the last of that. I'm going to check the chat room real quick. Joan has not added anything, so let's continue. All right, I have one other quick, also from comicbook.com, another quick synopsis thing for tonight. If there's too much repetition, I'll cut it. But also from Cameron Bolomono, and this is just really extended synopsis. Nothing on there is, okay, blah, blah, blah. Okay. it asks what is episode 2 about, but it just repeats the extended synopsis that I just read to you. So I don't think we need to worry about that. Let's go ahead and continue. Writers and directors profiles. It's 8:46. We've got about 16 minutes, roughly 15 minutes before we go dark. So tonight's writers and directors are the same as last week because this is a two-part episode and they worked on the whole thing. So tonight's episode is also written by Angela Kang and Jim Barnes and directed by Kevin Dowling. I'm going to go ahead and read their profiles again, even though we did this last week, and that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. All right, so Angela Kang, according to her wiki, Kang was born and raised in Irvine, California, to immigrant working-class parents of Korean descent. Kang received a Bachelor of Arts in English and Theater from Occidental College in Los Angeles, after which she had several short stories and poems published and also wrote a number of plays. She eventually returned to school, where she received an MFA in Writing for Screen and Television from the USC School of Cinematic Arts, where she was a recipient of the Annenberg Graduation Fellowship. Her first job in the television industry came when she worked as an intern for the ABC medical drama series Grey's Anatomy and Private Practice. Her first job as a staff writer was for the unaired NBC post-apocalyptic series Day One, which she got coming out of graduate school. Shortly thereafter, she was hired as a staff writer on the short-lived FX series Terriers, of which she wrote two episodes. Kang has also worked extensively with the Walking Dead franchise in the past and has been the Walking Dead's new head showrunner since the start of season 9. She has written or been story editor for 43 episodes before tonight, starting with season 2, episode 1, opener, What Lies Ahead. I actually should correct that. It's been difficult for me to know how to interpret this because I guess I'm treating last week and this week like one whole episode sometimes, but then not others. So technically it's 44 episodes, you know, if you count last week the way, you know, just normal 1 and 2. All right, the last time Angela Kang worked on anything for Walking Dead other than being showrunner was to write the season 10 opening, season 10, episode 1, Lines Recross. If you take that into perspective, not counting last week's episode with this week. She's written or co-written 27 episodes of Walking Dead, starting with season 2, episode 6, Secrets. This does not include tonight, which for this purpose I am counting as one big episode with last week. She is credited as the writer for the first episode of the Daryl and Carol series, as yet untitled, slated for 2022 or 23, which means they've probably got the first episode written. Obviously not shot yet. She's also a consulting producer for all 4 episodes of The Walking Dead Origins, which aired in July of 2021. And that's on AMC Plus only. I'm making notes that it was July, just so I can keep myself straight here. All right, she has also been producer and a showrunner for Walking Dead since the pilot in 2010, with varying producer roles. 147 episodes from 2010 to 2020 as co-executive producer, 64 episodes 2014 to 2018, executive producers for 38 episodes 2018 to 2021. Some episodes she had multiple titles. That's why the math seems a little funny. All right, she's also been on 23 episodes of The Talking Dead, which included last week. All right, let's see if there's any comments in the chat room. No, so let's continue. All right. Jim Barnes is the director. There's currently nothing personal available on Barnes as far as biographical information goes. Barnes is not to be confused with another writer of a similar name, Welsh Choctaw writer Jim Weaver McCown Barnes, who was born in Oklahoma in 1933. It's easy to tell them apart. Barnes' current Twitter bio says he is a writer, fighter, and a Jedi Knight. He is co-executive producer on The Walking Dead and currently lives in Los Angeles. Barnes has 5 of the writer's credits in IMDb before this. He's been a writer for Nikita, Revolution, Gotham, and Timeless, and executive story editor for Falling Skies. Barnes has 3 producer credits for Gotham, for Timeless, and for season 10 of Walking Dead. Barnes has written 5 episodes of Walking Dead before tonight's episode. C. season two, oh, pardon me, Barnes is a co-writer, not the director. That's my bad. That's why this didn't make sense. I was a little caught up in that. Okay, he is the co-writer with Angela Kang. So the other episodes he wrote before tonight were Season 10, Episode 3, Ghosts, Season 10, Episode 10, Stalker, Season 10, Episode 16, the original finale, A Certain Doom, Season 10, Episode 19, One More, and last week's final season opener, Acheron Part 1, and tonight is his sixth episode that he's written. All right, Kevin Dowling, who is our director, was raised in Gladwine, Pennsylvania, a suburb of Philly, son of John Dowling, who in the late 1980s was chief of orthopedic surgery at the Lackenau Hospital in Overbrook, Pennsylvania, and a clinical professor of orthopedic surgery at Thomas Jefferson University, and Lynn Dowling. I guess he left his mom's bio out. Not really sure what's going on with that. He attended Oberlin College in Ohio and New York University in New York City. On May 9th, 1987, Dowling married Marley Klaus, at the time a producer slash writer of the CBS news television program 60 Minutes. Kevin Dowling is an American director, writer, and producer of features, television, and theater. His film debut, The Sum of Us, starring Russell Crowe and Jack Thompson, won 17 awards, including Best Feature at the Montreal and Sydney Film Festivals, 4 Australian Critics Awards, including Best Picture, and 6 AFI nominations. His second feature, Mojave Moon, a dark romantic comedy, starred Angelina Jolie, Alfred Molina, Danny Aiello, and Ann Archer. Mr. Dowling was a founding member and for 8 years artistic director of the Actors Ensemble. During this time, he directed more than 20 plays. He was artistic director of the Cherry Lane Theater in Greenwich Village, New York from 82 to 95, co-founder and artistic director of the Actors Ensemble 74 to 80. He has directed more than 170 TV episodes, including episodes of The Americans, Bosch, The Strain, Jack Ryan, The Walking Dead, Heroes, Dead Like Me, Outsourced, Go On, Ed, Judging Amy, Joan of Arcadia, and CSI New York. Directing both last week's and tonight's episodes are his first two contributions within The Walking Dead franchise. Let's go ahead and give some applause for that. Thank you guys for crafting this episode. All right, it's 8:53. We've got time, so let's go to trivia about tonight's episode. It's the 155th episode of The Walking Dead ever. First appearance of the character Trooper Vasquez, played by Marcelo Audina. He's a resident of the Commonwealth who serves as a soldier for the Commonwealth Army. The title of the episode, Acheron, refers to one of the rivers of the underworld within Greek mythology, which was known as the River of Woe. We've covered that. This episode marks Callan McAuliffe, who plays Alden, his 25th appearance on the series. The original plot summary for the episode I already read you guys, so I'm not going to do that again. Co-stars are Carrie Genzel, G-E-N-Z-E-L. I apologize that I'm not sure. she plays Clark. Marcus Lewis is Duncan. Matthew Cornwell is Evans. And Mariana Novak is a female trooper Commonwealth Soldier 4. She's the first known female Commonwealth Soldier across the Walking Dead franchise. I really wasn't sure what that meant because CRM is in all of them, but Commonwealth is not. And to the best of my knowledge, they're not connected. Uncredited is Seven as Dog. Last episode trivia we will try to get in, and that's for Acheron Part 1, 154th episode of Walking Dead ever. First appearance of Frost. He's a member of the Wardens who joined Alexandria after the Reapers destroyed their previous village. He's played by Glenn Stanton. He's also listed as appearing tonight and next week's episode. First appearance of Duncan in the Wardens and Agatha in the Wardens. First appearance of Clark, Evans, and General Mercer in the Commonwealth. And shameless plug, Hamilton joke. Ha ha, General Mercer, all I had to do was die. Okay. Title of the episode, we've already said that, so I'm not going to say it again. As of this episode, Cooper Andrews and Callan McAuliffe have been added to opening credits. Eleanor Matsura, Nadia Hilker, Kaylee Fleming, Cassidy McClincy, and Lauren Ridloff are still listed under also starring despite being regulars in the previous seasons. This is the first episode featuring Paola Lazzaro. I apologize that is very difficult for me to say that correctly. I'm going to have to work on that. And Michael James Shaw, who plays Mercer, as series regulars. They're listed under also star. Jackson Pace, who plays Gage, and Okeah M.A. Akwari, who plays Elijah, were upgraded from co-stars to also starring in this episode last week. The original plot summary I gave to you guys, so I'm not going to do that again. Co-stars, Anthony Azor as R.J. Grimes, Kian Michael Spiller as Herschel Ree, Cary Ganzel as Clark, who's resident and auditor for Commonwealth, Marcus Lewis as Duncan, he's a member of the Wardens, Matthew Cornwell as Evans, who's an auditor for the Commonwealth, Michael James Shaw as General Mercer, Mariana Novak as a female trooper, Brandon O'Dell as refugee man, he's a survivor seeking refuge at the Commonwealth, Mala Bhattacharya as refugee woman, and Joshua Hare as squirrely man, and Seven was playing dog, but uncredited, poor Seven. Michelle Morano, Anthony Pori, and Tonya Wynicki as Alexandria residents. Trooper Garcia is Commonwealth soldier. These are all unknown actors. We don't know who's playing them. Sorensen, Livitz, and Zell. And the last two, Livitz and Zell, are the two guys Princess says are involved. Deaths last week, many unnamed U.S. military soldiers, and no goofs and errors or bloopers listed. Okay. Next is cast birthdays, and as last week, we had such a long hiatus that there were a lot of birthdays. So tonight we're going to do June, July, and August, and I'm not going to do those before we go to a break to watch the live show because there's just too many of them. But it's only 8:57, so I'll tell you what, I will try to do some of them. Let's see if we can get June under so we have a nice clean break. Okay, June cast and crew birthdays. Sarah Wayne Callies, who played Lori June 1st. She's from LaGrange, Illinois, but she was raised in Honolulu. Madison Janice Leisle, Lyle, played Jamie in The Walking Dead webisodes Torn Apart, June 2nd from United States City Unknown. Josh McDermott had a birthday on June 4th. He's from Phoenix. Robin Lord Taylor, who played Sam in Season 4 and Season 5, where he had Sam and Anna and Terminus. June 4th, Shoeyville, Iowa. Caitlin Nakin, who was Enid in Alexandria. June 11th, she's from Atlanta. Ethan Phelan Randall, Ethan Embry. I think the first is his real name, the second is his stage name. Carter from Alexandria, June 13th, Huntington Beach, California. Daniel Christopher Newman, who was Daniel, a soldier in the kingdom, June 14th, from Atlanta. Elizabeth Faith Ludlow, who was Erat, who was a savior defector, June 15th, from the United States, no city known. Ryan Douglas Hurst, who was Beta in The Whisperers, June 19th, from Santa Monica. David Mark Morrissey, who was the governor, a.k.a. Philip Blake, June 21st, he's from Liverpool, England. Alana Masterson, who was Tara, June 27th, she's from Long Island, New York. And Chandler Riggs, who was Carl, June 27th, and he is from Atlanta. Now we're at 8:59. Checking in the chat room, Jonah, has a couple comments real quick I'm going to squeeze in. Kind of hard to believe that CRM is not aware of the Commonwealth and vice versa since they're both supposedly so widespread. And a lot of summer babies. Well, to be fair, it's probably not much more than usual. It's just that we hadn't done an episode for a long time, so we weren't doing three or four of them each week. It's been a 5-month hiatus we have to catch up on. All right, I'm going to go ahead and go dark, and I will see you guys at commercial break number one. Well, good God, it's 9:01, and that was one of the quickest openings ever. I think the only one shorter than that was like a 30-second one that happened a few years ago. So, you know, I'm not expecting a rating for that because that really was just a few more seconds of Maggie getting abandoned by Negan. I'm not rating that. That's kind of stupid. Since we're on a quick break for a minute, and I don't think we're going back right away, I'm double-checking and I'm watching just to make sure. Yeah, we're at a commercial. Let's go do July birthdays while we have a hot minute. July, Nadine Marissa Richard, who played Nabila, plays Nabila, Kingdom Gardener, and Jerry's girlfriend. July 4th, she's from Houston, Texas. Pruitt Taylor Vince played Otis, Green Farmhand in season 2, the one that I think Shane went and killed. July 5th, he's from Baton Rouge. Major Dodson, who played Sam Anderson in Alexandria, is July 12th. He's from Dallas. Adam Boyer, who is Terminus Butcher, July 16th. I'm not totally confirmed, but we think he's from Atlanta. And Eleanor Matsura, who plays Yumiko, Magna's girlfriend or former girlfriend now, July 16th, and she is from Tokyo. All right, August birthdays. Real quick, Jones had a comment. I was thinking the same thing, super short opening, and there better be a Maggie version of Glenn fake out, damn it. I'm pretty sure it is. First thing I thought was, well, isn't that keeping it in the family? Or I think they're doing that. We have a commercial for World Beyond, so I don't know if we're going back pretty quickly. I was going to get into the August birthdays, but I don't know if this means we're going to go back in a minute. So I'm kind of waiting to see if the World Beyond commercial is over with. I sort of feel like if they're doing this, they're going to go back in a minute. It just feels like they're going to. Yes, they are. I'll see you guys at break number 2. Alrighty, now it is 9:12 and we are at commercial break number 2. So now we can actually rate something of substance here. Joan is starting at 5.5. I'm willing to go to 5.75, but I'm torn about it. I'm going to go back and capture some of our comments from last time. I do have a complaint, yet another one, about D.C. and how things work in D.C. It was not well thought out to have a whole thing where the metro trains were such that walkers could be standing outside and pawing the windows. This would basically mean that metro trains from the ground up to the windows are like 4 feet tall. That's not a thing. The trains are designed so that they line up when you stand on the platform. So if you're not on the platform, you have another 4 feet. So there's no way this is happening. This wasn't thought out very well. All right. Joan has also said maybe someday, some year, they'll actually get the facts right when it comes to locations, not holding my breath. And I had fussed, you know, this is what continuity staff is supposed to do. It is not that damn hard to engage people who are from here to tell you how things actually go. And, you know, I understand people take license with things for stories, but, you know, if you're going to bother to choose to set it in D.C., then set it in D.C. with all the problems that come with having it be in D.C. is all I'm saying. So Joan's starting out at 5.5. I'm at 5.75. We're having a little giggle with Yumiko and Princess being Karens about trying to figure out what happened to Ezekiel. Okay, giggle, giggle. And now we're at a break. So let's go ahead and continue our birthdays. We had not gotten to August, so let's do that now. August cast birthdays. John Carroll Lynch, who was Eastman, Morgan's mentor. August 1st, he's from Fort Boulder, Colorado. I'm not sure what the difference is. Melissa Ponzio, who was Karen in Woodbury in the prison. August 3rd, from New York City. Donsley Abernathy, who was Dr. Stevens in Woodbury. August 5th, from Montgomery, Alabama. Rick Otto, who was Andrew in the Walking Dead webisodes Torn Apart. That was 6 short movie clips that features Hannah and their story of how she became infected as the half-corpse or bicycle zombie. That's what those are, in case you guys forgot. August 10th, he's from Baltimore. Emily Kinney, who's Beth. August 15th, Wayne, Nebraska. Excuse me. By the way, I'm going to cheat and give you a little heads up. Emily is going to be on the couch on Talking Dead tonight. I'll give you everybody else in a little bit when I get to that part. I'm seeing a trailer for something on Apple TV, and I just want to see whether we're going back to the show. No, we have Testita, so let's keep going. Brighton Rose Sharbino, who played Lizzie. Look at the flowers. August 19th, Flower Mound, Texas. Let me get my flowers because I really get to do this. Yep, yep. Okay. Alicia Roanne Witt, who played Paula, who's a savior. August 21st, Worcester, I hope I'm saying this right, Worcester, Massachusetts. That's one of those towns where it's not pronounced how it's written. It might be Worcester. I could be Worcester, and I should know better because I have three friends who live there. Ross Marquand, who is Aaron from Alexandria, August 22nd, Fort Collins, Colorado, and Cullen Moss, who was Gorman, an Atlanta cop, August 24th, and he's from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. We are back. I'll see you at break number three. All right, it's 9:26, and we are at break number three, technically. I'm going with a six. I'm bothered by the whole Maggie engaged thing because I don't understand why she, if they got the door open, why they couldn't just shut it. Joan is willing to go up to 6'5 for Yumiko and also Negan having major cojones. We were all praising Yumiko during the last little snips. We're kind of digging the whole lawyer mode that she got into with the people in the Commonwealth. And Joan says, yeah, Maggie wasn't kidding when she said she wasn't the same person, and she just blurred the lines between her and Negan as a villain. I think that's actually going to become a plot point and how they solve the whole thing about Maggie being in the same place as Negan. You know, Maggie is basically, as she is now, not really any better than Negan much. Well, Negan's still worse, but not by nearly as much as she wants to think. Okay. So, featured music from last episode, there wasn't any listed from Asheron Part 1. Unaccounted for characters remain Heath, Rick, Ann/Jadis, and Georgie. And also Winnie, the girl who ran away. And I know this is going to end up like Tracy Otto, where there should be a resolution to a character and they're not going to do it. And I'm going to be pissy about it because I think she deserves one. Okay, Talking Dead tonight. I promised you guys I would tell you. Maggie, a.k.a. Lauren Cohen, Eugene, a.k.a. Josh McDermott, and Walking Dead family member Emily Kinney, who played Beth. All right, so I have also discussion links, but we'll get to those if we have any dead space. But the season 11, first eight, I'm giving you the rundown. I have episodes 3 through 8. There's a show going on with Idina Menzel and Minnie Driver, Billy Porter. Oh, and Pierce Brosnan. Okay, I see now. It's the new Cinderella version thing with the fairy godfather, Cinderella. Amazon original movie starting September 3rd in theaters and probably also on Prime Video. And there's a grilled cheese, so we have time to do the episodes. Let's take a look. Next week, episode 156 ever. Season 11, episode 3, title is Hunted. Writer is Vivian C. And director is Frederick E. O'Toy. I believe it may be Frederick's first time working on anything Walking Dead. That will be on September 5th. 157/4 is Rendition. Don't know the writers and directors. That's the 12th. 158/5 is Out of the Ashes. The 19th. 159/6 on the outside, on the inside. That's the 26th. 160/7, Promises Broken, and that's the 3rd. 161/8, For Blood, and that's on the 10th. And remember, on the 3rd, we'll also be sharing the screen with World Beyond. Okay, we are having a commercial for Walking Dead on AMC Plus, which makes me think we may be coming back in a minute. So I'm kind of stalling to see if that happens. Get AMC Plus if you want. All right, we are back. I'll see you guys at break number 4. Okay, guys, it's 9:43, and I guess we're at break number 5, I think. Joan is going to stay at 6.5. I'm going 6.25, I think. Honestly, I think this part is a little draggy compared to the rest of the stuff going on. I don't know why we need to do some of these scenes. As far as who's the guy that went with Gage and stole the stuff and ran off? I forgot. It was two people ran off with a bunch of supplies. It was Gage and one other guy, and I forgot who the other guy was. While we're here, let's go ahead and give you guys previews. Upcoming shows on NDB Media include Monday Night in America with Roger Noriega. 10 p.m. Monday nights, Roger Noriega brings his unique take on politics, current events, entertainment, sci-fi, and history, currently hosted on StreamYard. Phantom Access Week in Review, usually Tuesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Join the elegant entertainment of Jamie, Kieran, and AJ as they discuss another night of TV. The Rock and Roll Shrink will be coming up Wednesday, September 1st, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Join me and Atlanta psychologist Dr. Stephen Mathis, PsyD, a.k.a. The Rock and Roll Shrink, as we discuss matters of mental health and mental health. Our next topic will be about how to choose a proper online mental health professional. Travel Itch Radio on the 2nd, that's Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Why would a woman take a solo driving trip, experience a face-to-face encounter with a 2,500-pound buffalo, and have all kinds of other adventures? Find out on Thursday, September 2nd, when just-returned travel author Julie Valerie joins Travel Itch Radio for a special 30-minute interview. Hear her visit with Dan Schlossberg and Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee. This will be the 428th episode of Travel Itch Radio, now in its 10th season on NDB Media. So that's those guys. It's 9:45. We're not yet back, but I do not have any other material to read you guys other than a couple of straight articles I've grabbed for you just in case. I am actually going to try to pull one of those up in case we have another commercial break before the end, because they do that. Being it's 9:45, I'm expecting there to be one more at least. All right, so we're on a commercial for Xfinity Mobile, so I think we're going to have a couple minutes. I have an article from Looper.com called The Real Reason the Walking Dead Fans Started Seeing Less of Negan, and this is actually from November 2020. If they want to talk about it. Now, this is kind of interesting. There's a little subway thing going on here and some weird TV show. Ultra City Smiths on September 13th on AMC Plus. Not sure what that is. And there's a show where people are signing. But I can't tell if this is a movie or what it is. It must be because it's advertised from the Sundance Festival. Okay, what's the title? They just keep giving it reviews and all this stuff. It kind of looks like a woman who's deaf going and doing a music thing. It's called Coda, and it'll be on Apple TV Plus streaming. Now we're at a burger commercial. Not sure what's up with that. Let's see if Joan has anything to say in the chat room. She said, apparently it was the guy Gerald just found, but I don't remember his name either. Yeah, I know it's the same guy, but I don't know his name. The show goes until 10:14 tonight, so likely a few more breaks. Okay, well, you may have to help me out kind of chit-chatting in between. All right, let's go back to the article for a quick second, and just in case. So this is by Mike Bedard, November 10th, 2020. And he says, when you have a show that spans that many years, you need to find ways to keep it fresh. For season 6 of The Walking Dead back in 2016, that meant bringing in an infamous character from the comics who fans knew was going to cause plenty of problems for our survivors, Negan, played by Jeffrey Dean Morgan. In the episode Last Day on Earth, Negan immediately establishes himself as a foe that heroes shouldn't trifle with, as evidenced in how he mercilessly kills two beloved characters right off the bat, pun intended. We are back, though, and I'll see you guys at break number 6. Okay, guys, break number 6, 9:51. I'm going to actually creep up to 6:75. Although I'm kind of wondering where Dog is. Hopefully Dog is somewhere. You know what? Somewhere in the notes in the episode, Wikia, Asheron Part 2, Walking Dead. Let's see. I'm pretty sure that somewhere in there they have notes about who took stuff and wandered off. Let me see here. Let's go back to part one and it'll say who it was. Yes. Okay. Maggie's group realizes that Gage and Roy secretly fled and took all of their supplies. Yeah, that was that deal. And who was Roy? Let me pull that up. Oh, how funny. Guess who played Roy? It's C. Thomas Howell again. And then they also have a different actor as well, William Michael DeArmond. Parenthetically, Evolution, who was a guard for Hilltop. Okay, I'm not really sure. Back in season 9, Stradivarius and Evolution was a different guy. C. Thomas Howell got on to The Walking Dead as a couple of people, I think. He may have been originally with the Kingdom and then decided to go on. It was like he was in The Walking Dead, but he didn't get credit for contractual reasons or something. So he was in there and he was part of the Kingdom early on, but they didn't mention it. Very interesting. So he's being played by C. Thomas Howell tonight, which I think is kind of fun, and I didn't realize that until just now. So that is the other guy. Dog better be okay, Joan says. Yes, I agree. Joan is a 675 as well, and she thinks that the splat ending the last little chunk there was probably a fun little effect to set up. I'm very annoyed with the whole Metro thing. Walkers, as they are portrayed in the show and being rotten for this long, would be too short, because everyone's too short, and too weak to break into the Metro train. So I don't understand how this is possible. And also, Daryl and the endless pistol ammo. You know, I realize this is fantasy, but it's fantasy based on a real world. And so, you know, things like physics and stuff still work. And counting how much ammo fits in a pistol and all of that. And Joseph's right. Come on, they cleared hundreds in the streets of Alexandria a few seasons back. Well, to be fair, in Alexandria in the streets, there was a whole lot more room to work. And, you know, they do need to get through an enclosed space. And that's what I don't understand. They can only get through those doors one or maybe one and a half, not quite two at a time. And if they just bottlenecked that, I don't understand why this is hard. And in fact, if they took out a few, you know, it would be very quickly lining up to, you know, the bodies would start piling up is what I'm trying to get at. So I don't really understand why the bodies weren't piling up there. So I'm not really sure what was going on with that. Okay, so we're at a McDonald's commercial for now, or however it goes. And then Shudder, original series. I get Shudder is the horror channel, and I'm not sure what this series is. From the mind of Greg Nicotero. Okay, it's Creepshow. That totally makes sense. I think we're going back now. See you guys at break number 7. Pro tip, General Mercer, Eugene is a much better liar than you think he is. Oh, my God. It's 10:03. We're at break number 7. I don't, Joan, have you been counting? I haven't. I always screw this part up. But Joan has said, wow, Eugene, who knew he had that much subterfuge? We all did because he's done it before. And it's funny, he's learned to master his sort of spectrum-like behavior and twist it just enough so you can't really tell if you don't know him very well and you don't know what he's capable of. He can, in fact, fool people into thinking he's incapable of fooling them. Joan has said, getting a little sick of the head games these Commonwealth idiots are trying to pull, though. I am, too. I don't see the point in these things. And I know in a world like this, you have to really vet the hell out of people, and there's not too many ways to do that, but this is not useful. People that have survived this long didn't survive by being this stupid, and I don't get it. Joan's going up to 7, and she says she's not sure either of which break. Oh, yeah, you know, whatever. Let me go back to the Looper article for a minute. 10:04, I think we got a few seconds so we can try this. So, we talked about last day on Earth, blah, blah, blah. Shortly thereafter, Negan takes control of Alexandria. Rick and his friends rebel, of course, thus leading to an all-out war that results in a lot of bloodshed. Needless to say, Negan wasn't just a single-season big bad who could be dispensed with over the course of 13 episodes. I don't know what you mean by 13. 16! For a while, in fact, Negan was arguably the main attraction on The Walking Dead. A good deal of the show's attention went to him until he was ultimately imprisoned at the end of Season 8. Even after his defeat, he had maintained a presence in the main series, his influence bleeding over to the spinoff shows as well. But in Season 9, his character arc moved into the background, with the villain spending a great deal of his time in his prison cell, seemingly intentionally kept away from the main storyline. Putting the pieces together, it became clear why Negan had to take a back seat for a while. And that's what this article is about. Talking Dead real quick. So let's actually pause and see what they've got to say. So Josh McDermott is on, and Lauren Cohen and Emily, who played Beth. Yeah, I told you guys that earlier. Okay, back to the article. Ratings dropped when the show focused too much on Negan. Christine Evangelista, who played Sherry, sat down for an interview with Insider where she spoke about the intensity of portraying a character who had been traumatized by an abuser, namely Negan, with such a warped perspective of consent and relationships, and how when Sherry returns on Fear the Walking Dead, she doesn't even know that Negan has been defeated and imprisoned. As Evangelista stated, when you don't have that closure and you're carrying around the pain and you're carrying around the blame, that stuff gets heavier and heavier. The impact of Negan's depravity on viewers as well explained why his character had to take a step back from the main plot. I'm pausing after Apple TV to see if we're going back, and we are not. Let me continue. He was placed front and center throughout much of seasons 7 and 8, and while it gave audiences the insight into the mind of a madman, it also turned some people off to the series, who would rather follow Rick's path of righteousness. The Insider itself mentions how a lot of fans didn't like that, especially after Negan's entrance onto the show brutally killed two fan favorites in what viewers came to call torture porn. That moment and a continued focus on Negan started hurting the show's ratings through season 8. An article from Forbes released at the same time reveals that ratings were in fact dropping during this period. It seems that while Negan is a fan favorite character, both in the comics and TV show, many believe that too much focus took away from the show as a whole. All right. Going to continue. Negan's imprisonment, then, was a right call for the show, even putting aside it being a faithful adaptation of his arc in the comics, or whatever, because it allowed the creative teams behind the scenes to put Negan in a timeout as the show refocused its attention on the main cast of survivors while keeping him around to increase tension whenever the story called for it. This also gave fans enough distance from Negan that when he finally gained renewed focus and his freedom in Season 10, his redemptive arc was more believable. And in case with 6 bonus episodes of Season 10 set to air next year, already happened, plus a final season after that, we definitely haven't seen the last of Negan. And we're back, so let's see you at break number 8. Okay, guys, it's 10:14. We're going straight into The Talking Dead, so I will keep this short. Jonah and I are both ending on a 7. By the way, there's no such thing as Arbor Hills in the D.C. metro area anyplace. The closest one is actually near Plano, Texas. That's fine. I don't mind if they made up neighborhoods, you know, just for fiction's sake or whatever. Joan mentioned briefly in the last thing, Eugene has done this kind of trickery before, yes, but not with this much backbone. He did it before to protect his own butt. And I'm kind of glad that Stephanie actually exists and is going to talk to him at least. So ending with that, the Looper article is over, so we completed that part. That's fine. Next weekend will be episode 3, which is Hunted, written by Vivian C. and directed by Frederick E. O. Toy. And that will be on Sunday the 5th. So I will see you guys then. Thank you for joining us as always. Joan, thank you for your extra help. And I will see you guys next week. Thanks for joining us. Good night.